Hi, everybody. Welcome to our program. This is English Digest, and I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're continuing talking about the Conquerors, continuing to talk about this very interesting program on Animal Planet, which is a pretty fascinating channel with lots of programs about animals.
Yeah.
And in this recent series of four programs, they're talking about these invasive species that are invading different parts of the world and changing the balance of those ecosystems. Today we're going to talk about some of them, or at least the king crab, the caterpillar, the pine processionary caterpillar, the lionfish, and the fire ant.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that I hate the fire ant because the reason why it's called the fire ant, just so you know, is that when they sting you, when they bite you, you feel like your skin is on fire. It hurts so much. I mean, other ants can bite you. It doesn't hurt as much, like the black ant, the brown ant. We have lots of ants where I grew up in Arizona for some reason. But the fire ant, wow, you want to avoid those.
Have you seen them before?
Yeah, they're very red.
So you got to watch out for those.
Uh-huh, they're big, too.
They are big and dangerous. And we've also got the giant crab of Kamchatka, which is a part of Russia there. And we've also got this caterpillar that we're going to talk about and lionfish. You probably know more about the lionfish than any of these, but let's get to it. Let's talk about the crab, the lionfish, the caterpillar, and the other one there by reading the entire contents of today's lesson right now.
The giant crab of Kamchatka is one of the largest crustaceans in the underwater world. Introduced to the European coast by Russians in the 1960s, hordes of these crabs have overrun the northern European Arctic coast, destroying everything in their wake and disrupting the local ecosystem. Without natural predators, these monster crabs have begun to breed in great numbers. Today, these unstoppable crustaceans are continuing to thrive and depopulate the seabed, disrupting the balance of the native species. Lionfish are just one predator among many in their native environment. But in the 1980s, they were introduced to the Atlantic Ocean by some exotic fish collectors in Florida. In less than a decade, the lionfish had conquered these waters. Lionfish accomplished this with such speed that scientists consider them the worst invaders on the planet. They devoured everything in their path and gobbled up other predators before they were big enough to attack. Pine processionary caterpillars have caused similar damage in Europe. They feed on the needles of pine trees at such a rapid pace that they are fast becoming the great destroyer of Europe's forests. Fire ants live in colonies that contain up to 40 million individuals. They are called fire ants due to the burning venom that they inject with their stingers. When introduced to new lands, they steal food, aggressively defend their territory, and exterminate other species. As a result, scientists are scrambling to devise ways to minimize the fire ants' destructive capabilities. If you're interested in seeing these tiny tyrants in action, check out The Conquerors on Animal Planet.
Okay, let's get to it. Let's talk about the second part of our lesson here, of our article about the conquerors. This is day two, and we're going to talk, first of all, about this giant crab from Kamchatka, which is a peninsula on the far east shore of Siberia there in Russia there. And this giant crab is one of the largest crustaceans in the underwater world. Now, when you think of crustaceans, you can think about creatures like lobsters or crabs or shrimp. They basically don't have skeletons. They have this hard shell on the outside. That's what a crustacean is. And they're one of the largest crustaceans in the ocean.
Wow. Well, they were introduced to the European coast by Russians in the 1960s. So, formerly, they were over there in Russia minding their own business. But in the 1960s, some Russians brought some over to the European coast and let them go.
What did they do that for?
Yeah, who knows? They were being mean.
Yeah.
Well, hordes of these crabs have overrun the northern European Arctic coast. And they've also destroyed everything in their wake. Now, if you're talking about a horde of something, usually we use it as a measure word. It's a large group of people. But when we use hoard, it usually means in a negative way. There are just too many people. For example, around Christmas time, there are always hordes of shoppers in the stores trying to buy up presents for Christmas. I tend to stay away from stores during special sales. I remember I was in a store here, a supermarket in Taiwan, and they were having a special. It was an anniversary sale. Wow, there were hordes of people, hordes of shoppers. Well, because the Europeans or the Russians brought over these giant crabs, they have now overrun the northern European Arctic coast.
And the overrun here, that's the past participle of overrun, which, again, is a verb, just means something spreads over one area in large numbers, overrun by these crabs, totally controlled by them over a large area. And this is the northern European Arctic coast. So we're going up there to northern, I guess, Sweden there, maybe Finland, and maybe Scotland or something like that, the Arctic coast, way up north there. So they're all over the place there. And they're destroying everything in their wake and disrupting the local ecosystem. If you talk about something in its wake or in one's wake, well, you got to think of a boat going through the water. After the boat goes through the water, it leaves these little waves behind it.
Uh-huh.
So the wake just refers to the result of something. So in their wake means after they've passed through, this is what has happened. So
what's left behind.
What's left behind, exactly. So they've destroyed everything in their wake as they pass through, and they've also disrupted the local ecosystem. If you disrupt something, you interrupt it, you cause a disturbance, you create a problem, and that the result of that is that the system is no longer the same as it was before.
Yeah, you're interrupting the normal progress or activity of something. And we're seeing here it's really changing the local ecosystem. It's changed everything because they don't have any natural predators in this new area that they've decided to live in. Actually, they were brought there. It's not their fault. People brought them over to this new area, so we can blame the Russians. If you're a predator, it means you're an animal that lives by killing and eating other animals. So there really isn't an animal in the European Arctic coast region that likes to kill and eat monster crabs. So they really don't have to defend themselves from other creatures. So they can breed in great numbers. If you breed, it means you produce young animals, birds, insects. We usually don't use breed to talk about people producing children. We use it for animals. Animals breed. So now we have a lot of these monster crabs in the area, and they're just destroying everything.
I should also mention breed can be a noun if you're talking about different kinds of dogs, for example. What's your favorite breed of dog, for example, Stephanie?
Irish Springer Spaniel.
Irish Springer Spaniel. That is a breed of dog. Some people like Cocker Spaniels or
Poodles, or black Labradors.
Actually, when I was a kid, we had a Basenji of all dogs.
Oh, I don't know that dog.
Yeah, it's very rare. It's a dog from Egypt, actually.
Cool.
I wouldn't recommend it. It had all sorts of problems. But that's the noun form of breed. But here's the verb, to breed these animals in great numbers. They don't have any natural predators. No animals are big or strong enough to kill them. So they're unstoppable. And these unstoppable creatures, crustaceans today, are continuing to thrive and depopulate the seabed. So if you thrive, that means you exist and you're doing quite well. Animals can thrive in new environments, or people can thrive. When I lived out in the country as a farmer boy, I was poor, but when I went to New York City and lived there, I was thriving. I had a great job, making lots of money, had lots of friends. I was going places.
Yeah, it just means you're really successful. You're developing, you're growing. People can thrive. Plants can thrive. I've noticed that in Taiwan, since we have so much sunshine and water, rain, plants seem to thrive here. It's quite beautiful.
Sure.
Now, they continue to thrive. Meanwhile, the other creatures in the same area weren't doing so well. And so these unstoppable crustaceans, as we're calling them, they depopulated the seabed. The seabed is the bottom of the sea. If you depopulate, It's the opposite of populate. So you're reducing the number of people or things in an area. Here we're reducing the number of creatures, sea creatures in that area. And what happened is it disrupted the balance of the native species. So whatever was there natively, had originally been there in that area, they were dying off because these darn monster crabs were killing them, and there was no room for them anymore.
And we're also going to talk about lionfish here as we continue. Lionfish are just one predator among many in their native environment. I know that lionfish are popular aquarium fish here in Taiwan.
Oh, really?
Lots of businesses and rich people like to have lionfish in their aquariums,
really?
Either in their office or at home. And, well, in their native natural environment, they are a predator, but among many predators, so they don't control everything. There are other strong fish around. But in the 1980s, they were introduced to the Atlantic Ocean by some exotic fish collectors in Florida. They're always doing weird stuff down there in Florida. I guess this means that the lionfish are not native to the Atlantic Ocean, so they were introduced there. They got into the Atlantic Ocean. Florida there is right on the Atlantic Ocean. And, well, lionfish are considered a type of exotic fish, not just a regular, everyday kind of fish, but exotic, which means something that is like a foreign country. It's from far away. It's very unique. It's very special because you haven't seen it before. I guess to Americans, Taiwan can seem very exotic because we've never seen a place like this before.
It is very exotic. Anything that you're unfamiliar with that comes from a foreign country seems exotic to you. You know, I remember when I looked up lionfish because I didn't know what they were, Tom. It sounds like you're familiar with them. It did say they were native to the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
They're very colorful, but what they have in them is venom. We're going to talk about that poison that they have inside their spine, in one of their fins, their dorsal fin.
Ooh.
Now, these exotic fish collectors let these little lionfish go in the Atlantic Ocean, and in less than a decade, less than 10 years, the lionfish had conquered these waters. Remember, if you conquer something, you move into an area and you take control, usually by force. We typically use conquer to talk about armies invading other countries and taking that country by force through military means. But here we're talking about animals that are conquering a new territory. We're going to continue talking about these kind of scary lionfish, but first, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天要介绍的第一个外来物种的入侵是称为勘察家的巨蟹。首先看到在第一段的第二个句子提到 Introduced to the European coast by Russians in the 1960s,Hordes of these crabs have overrun the northern European Arctic coast, destroying everything in their wake and disrupting the local ecosystem. 首先呢，我们看到一刚开始的 introduced 在这里是表示被动，被引进到这个欧洲的大陆，时间1960年代，这些成群的巨蟹呢，横行于欧洲北部的北极沿岸。我们来看一下，在这里有个动词 overrun， 其实就是带有着侵扰的意思。而一大群的人或者是动物，则是可以用 horde 这个动词，这个名词。举例来说，一大群的孩子们在房子的周围奔跑着，你就可以说 Hordes of children were running around the building， 而他们的所到之处呢，无不受到破坏， destroying everything in their wake。 在英文里面，In somebody's wake 指的就是紧跟在某人后面的意思，而在此同时呢，也破坏了当地的生态系统。Disrupt 是当作动词，有打断或者是使混乱的意思。第一段的最后一句提到 Today, these unstoppable crustaceans are continuing to thrive and depopulate the seabed, disrupting the balance of the native species.而到了今天，这些没有办法制止的甲壳动物呢，仍持续的快速的繁衍。Thrive 则是有兴盛跟繁荣的意思，让这些海床上的生物灭绝之外，也造成了原生物种的失衡。接着下一句提到就是狮子鱼，英文称之为 lionfish。 这里提到 In less than a decade, the lionfish had conquered these waters. 在不到十年的时间，狮子鱼呢就征服了大西洋中的众多水域。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson where we left off. We were talking about lionfish, and they were introduced into the Atlantic Ocean by some exotic fish collectors, and there were problems after that. The lionfish devoured everything in their path. To devour means to eat something totally in a hungry way.You could eat, let's say, a hamburger like this, but if you devour it, you go like this. I like to devour my food when I eat.
You sound like the Cookie Monster on Sesame Street.
Oh, he's one of my favorite puppets of all time, the Cookie Monster. And yes, they devoured everything in their path, which means everywhere they went, they just ate everything.
Yeah.
So, of course...They gobbled up other predators before they were big enough to attack. So there are other predators there who could maybe balance the population, but these lionfish are smart. We'll get them when they're small, get them when they're young.
So, sure.
The lionfish attack them when these predators are too small, and therefore they control everything.
You know, this verb phrase here, gobble up, is very similar to devour. It's just a little bit cuter. It's a little more informal.She gobbled up her sandwich. She was so hungry.
Yeah.
So they gobbled up their other predators, before they were big enough to hurt them. That's pretty smart. Now we've got another creature here, the caterpillar, and it's a pine processionary. Processionary means you're in a line, you're in a group. So they line up and they tend to like pine trees.If you're not familiar with pine trees, a pine tree is the kind of tree that you usually see as a Christmas tree. We use a lot of pine trees for Christmas trees.
Sure.
So these particular caterpillars love pine trees. They've caused similar damage in Europe. So they're not hurting us in America or even in Asia. They're hurting the Europeans. Why? Well, they feed on the needles of pine trees.Instead of having leaves, pine trees have needles, which is a very interesting look. I love pine trees. They smell good. If you feed on something, we're always talking about animals. You cannot use this verb phrase to talk about people.
No.
People do not feed on food. Only animals feed on things. It means they eat. So they're eating something. Owls will feed on insects.
Sure.
Well, these particular caterpillars feed on the needles of pine trees.
Right, and they're doing it quickly. They're doing it at such a rapid pace that they are fast becoming, or they will soon be, the great destroyer of Europe's forests. And you couldn't go to the Black Forest in Germany, for example, because of these caterpillars. It's eventually going to be a big wasteland, a big desert, unless they do something about it.Now we'll talk about fire ants, something that you know about, Stephanie.
Uh-huh.
They live in colonies that contain up to 40 million individuals.
Wow.
That's a lot of ants. A colony, at least for ants here, refers to just a place where all these ants live together. They have a community there. They have the queen and the workers, and they have a system. So that's a colony. A colony could also refer to countries that were taken over.By European countries back in the day, Taiwan used to be a colony of, Holland, was it? I'm not sure that happened a long time ago, or Hong Kong was a British colony, etc. And in any case, these are fire ants, and as you said, they are called fire ants because of their burning venom, which of course is poison from an animal, like from a snake. A snake has venom if it's poisonous. And they inject this venom with their stingers. So I guess if you run into a fire ant, they can sting you just like a bee can.
Yeah, they sure can. The stinger is actually the pointed part on the insect or the animal that's used to sting someone. Bees sting, scorpions sting, spiders sting.
Yeah.
It kind of hurts. So they're injecting or pushing this poison we call venom into you. And that's what makes you itch. Well, when these fire ants are introduced to new lands, they steal food. So they're taking food from other animals or other species. They also aggressively defend their territory. If you're aggressive, you're kind of always ready to fight. And you're willing to hurt people to get what you want. Sometimes you use force to get what you want. So they'll hurt other species in order to defend their land, to protect their territory, what they consider is their land. Get out! This land is ours! They can also exterminate other species. If you exterminate something, you destroy or kill a group of animals completely. You can also exterminate people. During World War II, the Germans tried to exterminate the Jews. So if you have lots of cockroaches in your home, you might call up a business called the Exterminators. They could come and spray poison in your house to kill those darn cockroaches.
It's not easy to do to exterminate cockroaches.
No.
They always seem to come back at some point. And yes, indeed, we've got these fire ants. They steal food. They aggressively defend their territory. And they exterminate other species, those bad ants. And as a result, scientists are scrambling to devise ways to minimize the fire ants' destructive capabilities. So as a result of this, these ants are seen as a big problem. And so we have these scientists doing some research, and they're scrambling to think of ways to take care of this problem. Scramble here means you kind of hurry to do something. We talk about this sometimes when jets take off suddenly to defend their country. Yes, they scrambled some F-15 fighters to go out there and chase away the invaders, to scramble some jets. But here, scramble, yes, you make your way quickly and awkwardly, perhaps.
Maybe before other people get there.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
So they're thinking of ways to do this. They're acting fast. Maybe they're not allowing enough time to think this through, but they just don't have the time. They need to devise ways to minimize their capabilities. If you devise something, that means you think of a way to do something. You plan or invent a system or a machine or whatever. They're thinking of ways to minimize their destructive capabilities.
Isn't it amazing that these little tiny creatures are actually that powerful and good in good numbers? You could say there are a lot of them together. 40
million?
They can
wreak such havoc.
Havoc, yeah. If you want to minimize something, it means you're making something that's bad or something that you don't want as small as possible. If you work for a company, your boss will want to minimize costs so your profit is higher. Well, they want to minimize or reduce the fire ant's destructive capabilities. If something's destructive, it's causing a lot of damage, a lot of harm. Typhoons and earthquakes that we have here in this part of the world are very destructive sometimes. They cause a lot of damage. Now, your capabilities are things that you're able to do. If someone says, oh, they're very capable, they have a lot of great capabilities, they're actually giving you a compliment. They say that you're able to do a lot of things. Look at your cell phone. Maybe your cell phone has a lot of different types of capabilities. Maybe you can play video games on your cell phone. You can take pictures. You can surf the internet. Those are capabilities that your phone has.
But they're not destructive capabilities.
No.
On your cell phone. They are beneficial capabilities. But here the ants have these destructive capabilities. They are able to destroy. So, of course, the scientists are trying to think of ways to reduce their destructive capabilities. They're devising ways to minimize those capabilities. And if you're interested in seeing these tiny tyrants in action, like the fire ants or the king crabs, or the pine processionary caterpillars, you can check out The Conquerors on Animal Planet. Check your newspaper for local listings.
Okay, everybody. Once again, it's time for our Chinese teacher.
接着他的句子提到 Lionfish accomplished this with such speed that scientists consider them the worst invaders on the planet.狮子鱼呢能够在这么短的时间征服大西洋的众多水域，速度之快使得科学家把它们视为是地球上最恶劣的侵略者。在这里的 consider them 后面省略掉了 to be the worst invaders on the planet。后面的句子则是有更细节的说明 They devoured everything in their path and gobbled up other predators before they were big enough to attack. 这里提到呢，他们会吞食所有挡在前方的一切，而且在其他掠食的动物到足以攻击他们之前，就先把他们吞下去了。这里有两个动词，一个是 devour， 这是有吞食的意思，而 gobble up 也是有狼吞虎咽的意思，可以看得出来狮子鱼的可怕了吧。下一个要介绍的呢，叫做松翼带鹅毛虫，英文称之为 pine processionary caterpillars。这里在最后一句提到 They feed on the needles of pine trees at such a rapid pace that they are fast becoming the great destroyer of Europe's forests. 它们的坏处就在于它们是以松树的针叶为食，而这个速度之快啊，使得它们也迅速的成为欧洲森林的大破坏家。这里有个片语Feed on something 指的就是以什么为食的意思。最后一个要介绍的是 fire ants， 也就是火蚁。在这里文章当中提到 When introduced to new lands, they steal food, aggressively defend their territory, and exterminate other species. 火蚁的可怕就在于呢，被引进到新的土地的时候，它会去偷取其他人的食物，而且呢，会有一些具侵略性的地盘保卫战来消灭对方。在这里我们用 aggressively 当作副词来修饰 defend their territory， 在此同时还会 exterminate 消灭或是扑灭其他的物种。后面还提到 As a result, scientists are scrambling to devise ways to minimize the fire ants' destructive capabilities。正因如此，科学家们呢，很争先恐后的要想出一些方法来将他们的破坏力降到最低。在这里我们使用了 scramble 这个动词， scramble to do something 指的就是争夺或者是争抢的要去做什么事的意思。
That's all the time we have for today. It's been such a pleasure talking to you, and it's going to be even more fun talking to you next time when you join us then. For English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.